Amen. Amen. There's a word I want to lift today. The Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Beginning at the first verse. As we wrap up this series entitled God Uses Misfits. And next Sunday we'll start to make our way toward Calvary. And Resurrection Sunday. Verse 1 reads, and David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? He said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said to the king, Behold, he is in the house of Michal, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michal, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, I had that down before I left home, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such as a dead dog? Yeah. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Thank y'all. Amen. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth said, had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Yeah. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God uses misfits. God uses misfits. We have talked about a harlot named Rahab, an unnamed blind man, a no-name deaf man, 10 leprous men who only one returned to say thank you. Today, in the final sermon from this series, we meet a crippled man by the name of Mephibosheth. Yeah. Amen. I got it.
Go ahead.
All of them are misfits. They fit nowhere. They can't work, and for the most part, they can't even take care of themselves. They have no particular social value. They are just misfits. They bring nothing to the table financially, spiritually, or otherwise, and they seem to be at the mercy of others. And one of my prayers daily is, God, don't let me have to be at the mercy of other people. Because even though you have been there for them, when it's your time, people seem to forget you. Am I talking to anybody in here? Listen, I'm not talking about strangers, not talking about friends, but people who you were raised in the same house with, slept in the bed with, drank from the same cup with you, you wore each other's clothes and shoes. When it's your turn, people seem to forget about you. Do I have a witness? My prayer, Lord, please don't let me be at the mercy of other people, especially my children. I'm in a world of trouble. All of the people that we have discussed in this series are considered outsiders. They're considered to be left out. They don't fit in. They, in a word, are misfits. Everybody stares at them. Everybody points at them. They laugh at them when they walk by. And that's how many times we are mistreated here, right here in the church. Folk who know where you came from, who know what you've been through, will many times stare at you. They will point at you. They will whisper under their breaths about you, point and stare at you when you walk by. You become the talk of the town. But the good news today is that when God looks at you, he does not look at us as misfits, but rather as an opportunity to show what an encounter with him can do in the lives of people who are considered to be misfits. And that ought to make you shout this morning. As a matter of fact, we ought to tear the roof off this place, because you know what kind of shape you were in when God found you. As a matter of fact, you know what kind of shape you're in right now. But it's God's mercy that allows you to come into his house and worship a holy God when at your best you're nothing more than filthy rags. And how many know that you're not worthy of the blessings that you now enjoy? But thank God he specializes in taking misfits and using them in his service. How many know he didn't have to let me live? He didn't have to let me will. That's why I'm just glad to be in the service one more time. Oh, come on, tell your neighbor. Listen, I'm just glad to be in the service one more time. No, that was the wrong neighbor. They just should have shouted. Try your other neighbor and tell them, I'm just glad to be in the service with my misfit self one more time. In this text, David is in the throne room of his estate. He is taking stock of where he is and how he got to where he is. He sat down and thought about how good God had been to him, how far God had brought him, how many doors God had opened for him. David remembers that he is not where he is by himself. Can I throw in for free that nobody here is self-made today? If you are anywhere, somebody helped you get there. So somebody prayed for you. Somebody gave you a push. Somebody gave you a helping hand. You are where you are, not by yourself. First of all, it's by the grace of God. And God put somebody in your pathway that helped you along the way. Somebody that gave you an encouraging word, that put it in a word for you. Somebody that when you didn't have it, they gave it to you. We like to talk about the man keeping us down and the man always keeping us down. The man this and the man that. But some of the best help I ever received was from the man. Y'all remember last year Lewis Marshbanks was here and presented me with a free trip to the Holy Land. I didn't go this year because of my parents. They put it off to next year. I don't know why this man took a liking to me. But because he did, this church has been blessed through him. When we bought this church, because of his affinity toward me, he would not take a realtor's fee for brokering the deal. And the church that was listed, this church was listed on a tax roll for $1.4 million. And we were able to acquire it for $490,000. And listen, he would not even take a realtor's fee. He said, I don't want the $30,000. I just want to see the church advance and grow. You don't get where you are because of you, but because somebody helped you along the way. And so now David is remembering when he was on the run from Saul, he remembers that Jonathan loved him in spite of the fact that his father, Saul, hated him. Saul is so intent on destroying David that David on many occasions had to hide in caves and other desolate places in order to save his life. But Jonathan didn't base his opinion on what David, on what his father thought. He didn't base his opinion about David on what his father thought. And can I tell you, that's why you're not like somebody else based upon somebody else's opinion. The fact is, most of us dislike people based upon suspicion, based upon what somebody else has told us. But God has all of the evidence on us, and God still loves you. And if God can love you with all he knows, not on suspicion, but he has the evidence, then surely we ought to be able to love one another. Do I have a witness in here today that if God can love you with your ugly self, with your ugly ways, that surely we ought to love one another? Jonathan knew that God had already delivered the kingdom into David's hand. David is now the king, and he starts to remember who helped him when he was down. Who it was that was there for him when everybody else walked out and walked away from him. Saul and Jonathan are now dead, but David remembers that Jonathan was there when nobody else was. David asked, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness to? Because Jonathan was kind to me. Kindness in the Hebrew is that word hasad. It takes two English words to translate it from the Hebrew. In the English, it means loving kindness. It's showing someone grace even though they don't deserve it. It's being kind to someone even though they can't give you anything in return. It's just going out of your way to show favor for somebody and you don't want anything back in return. And most of us only do something for folk if we expect something in return. Amen. You are just being kind to them because somebody else was kind to you. You're not being blessed because you have been so holy, because you've been so careful. Somebody in your past was good to somebody. Your grandmother, your mother, your daddy was good to somebody. And somebody's been good to you today because somebody in your past was good to somebody else. I'm where I am right now because my grandmother, my mother were good people, and I'm blessed today because they were kind to other people. David said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul? Is there anything left of the house of Saul? He says, is there anybody? That word any, he doesn't have a certain criteria. It means he doesn't have to be a soldier. Doesn't have to be an intellectual. He does not have to look good or be in perfect shape. Anybody left in the house of Saul. And that ought to make us shout this morning because God can save anybody. God can work with anybody. God can pick up anybody. And the reason I know God can save anybody is because he saved me. And if God can save me, oh, come on, don't act like y'all been good here today. If God can save me, he can save anybody. Would you encourage somebody close to you and tell them, if God can save me, he can save anybody. Oh, come on. I need the folk that hadn't lived right all your life to tell somebody, if God can save me, he can save anybody. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He filled my heart with love. wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Anybody here today who's lost, you can be saved today.
Amen.
He accepts anybody. Listen to me. Every saint in here today has a past.
Amen.
And every sinner in here today has a future. Anybody, matter of fact, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Is there anybody left in the house of Saul that I might show them kindness? Someone said there's a servant named Ziba who was Saul's servant. Ziba says there is one left of the house of Saul, but he's crippled. He's lame. He's crippled in both of his feet. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Grace does not ask anything about your background. Grace does not care about your curriculum vitae. Grace does not care about your background or who your mother, who your father was. Grace just says, bring him or her here to me. They go in to the house of Macher in the town of Lodibar and bring Mephibosheth. In order for you to shout on this text, you got to see where David found Mephibosheth. He found him in the house of Macher. The word Macher means soul. In Lodibar, Lodibar means no hope. The name Mephibosheth means shameful. He finds this man, soul, no hope, shameful, and brings him to the king's table. That's a picture of everybody in here today. Before you found Jesus Christ, you were sold to sin. You had no hope. You were living in shame. But once you meet Jesus, you got a seat at the king's table. That's how grace is extended. But let me show you how grace is embraced. Verse 6 through 13, they bring Mephibosheth into David's house. They bring him to the very throne room of the kingdom. Now understand, no disabled specimen could ever come into the king's presence. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even come in the presence of the king with a frown on your face. You couldn't even scowl or look unhappy in the king's presence, let alone be a cripple. No disability. No flaws, no defects in your character or your countenance would be tolerated in the king's presence. But David says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness because of Jonathan? When they bring Mephibosheth here's how he embraces grace. Not like many of you sitting in here this morning with a frown on your face. Some of y'all, again, had to smile all morning, hadn't spoken to anybody, fist all balled up. I don't know why you would come to the Lord's house like that when the Lord woke you up this morning and started you on your way. Nobody had to dress you or drive you. You slept in a warm bed all night long, food to eat, all that God has done to you. You would think when you come to the Lord's house, you would come with a smile on your face. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And when the Lord allows you into his presence, hear how you ought to embrace his grace. Mephibosheth embraced it with a humble heart. He says, who am I that you would even consider a dead dog? Who am I that you would even let me come into your presence? Who am I that you would allow a dead dog to come into the king's presence? That's humility. When you stand by me and measure yourself, you look pretty good. If you've never been drunk, you're better than a whole lot of folk in here. If you never stayed out all night and you measure yourself next to somebody in here, you look pretty good. If you never gambled, never lied, never been to jail, you stand up next to somebody and here you look pretty good. But you're measuring with the wrong ruler. If you want to see how good you really look, stand next to Christ and you will see that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is there anybody here to know that God is a measuring stick? And when he lets you come into his presence, you ought to humble yourself. Mephibosheth humbled himself. Who am I that you would allow a dead dog into your presence? And how many of us have been dogmatic in our treatment of others? We've been mean and callous toward all of us. All of us in here today have a little dog in us. You're not going to admit it, but all of us have a little dog in us. If you think I'm lying, get on my bad side. Get on my, say the wrong thing. Or do the. All of us. And many of us, when God found us, we were good for nothing, low down, dirty, dead dogs. And in God's presence without Christ, you were a dead dog. Dead in trespasses, dead in sin, sold into slavery, no hope, no future, no plans. You are like a dead dog. That's why when you come into God's house, you ought to leave your ego in the car. You ought to leave your degree on the wall, your self-esteem on the outside, because ain't nobody here important but Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Nobody in Mount Moriah is important. Not the pastor, not the deacons, not the ushers, not the choir. Nobody's important but Jesus Christ. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And the more I call him, the better I feel. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus late in the midnight hour. There's power. There's joy in the name of Jesus. Why don't you call that name with me? Jesus. The only one that can talk about death in the past tense. When we talk about death, it's in the future tense. He talks about death in the past tense. When you come into his presence, you ought to humble yourself. He embraced grace by being humble, but all he also embraced it by being honest. Listen to me. Your Facebook post is not what you look like when you first get up in the morning. That's the fixed up you. That's the dressed up you. That's the made up you. The real you is what you look like when you wake up in the morning. With matter in your eyes and hair all over your head. That's the real you. That's what you really look like. The real you is underneath all that stuff you put on to fool us into believing that that's really you. But when you come before God, you ought to be honest with yourself. And then we ought to be honest with one another. Amen. Tell yourself and somebody else the truth. I haven't been in church all my life. You hadn't been in mission and brotherhood all your life. You hadn't been reading the Bible all your life. And if you have, you were just fronting half the time. You look sanctified, saved, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But you hadn't been that way all of your life. That's why we got to tell these young people the truth. Amen. Do I have a witness in here? Amen. That's why we got to be honest with these young folk and let them know you're not the first one got pregnant as a teenager. Amen. I wish I had a witness in here today. You're not the first one that got strung out on whatever. I didn't get strung out on it because it wasn't around when I was around then. But whatever it was, I was doing it. We got to be honest. Let them know. But now that's my testimony, because I can declare where the Lord has brought me from. We are comfortable in our own skins and we really don't care what anybody else thinks. Do I have a witness in here today? Some of y'all walk around like you Junior Jesus. Like you had never done anything, and you always sitting in judgment of other folk. The only difference between you and them is I don't know your dirt. All right. All right. Because when you know you've been delivered, when you know God has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, when you know that God knows you and He still loves you, other people's opinion does not bother you. So you embrace grace by being honest. Honest people are shouting people. Honest people are happy people because you don't have to look over your shoulder. You embrace grace by being humble. You embrace grace by being honest. But finally, you embrace grace by being happy. Look at Mephibosheth, crippled in both of his feet. Not one, but both of his feet. A dead dog, but he's got a seat at the king's table. Look at Mephibosheth, the grandson of David's hated enemy, Saul. Saul hated David. Jonathan loved David. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son. Saul's grandson, a rival for the throne. David has every reason to destroy him. And because of that, Mephibosheth is in Lodibar hiding. I want you to see why Mephibosheth is so happy. He's in the house of Maacah in the town called Lodibar hiding because he knows that David has a right to kill him. One day seated in Maacah's house in Lodibar, he hears the hooves of horses. Wheels of chariots driving up to the front door. He's hiding in the back room because he knows that any moment the door will open, soldiers will come in and take his life. Because he's the last of Saul's family and David has every right to kill him. He's in the back room hiding. Maybe he's in the closet. Maybe he's under the bed hiding from the wrath of King David. The chariots come up to the door and knocks on the door and says, is Mephibosheth here? Is he home? They show him where he is. They say, the king wants to see you. All the way to the king's palace. He's thinking, this is it for me. David is going to eliminate me. It's over 50 miles from where he was to Jerusalem. And all of the way he's thinking, it's over for me. And when he drives up to the king's house, they don't bring him in through the back door, through the parlor, but to the throne room. He gets in the throne room. David is seated at the throne. David says, are you Mephibosheth? He said, I am your servant. David says, I want you to come with me. Still terrified of thinking the king is going to kill him. The king says, take a seat at my table. For you will always eat at my table. I know I deserve hell. I should have been dead for the sins I committed, for the wrong I've done. But Jesus said, come here, you've got a seat. You will always eat at my Father's table. I don't know about you. I can't shout for you, but when I think about what God has done for me and should have done to me and what God would have done to me without the blood of Jesus, I'd be in my grave right now. But thank God for grace. I said thank God for grace, God's unmerited favor. Thank God he looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. Thank God I've got a seat at the table. But get the picture. As I get ready to close, get the picture here today. I need y'all to get this. Look who's sitting at the table. Mephibosheth is now sitting at the table with Solomon. Absalom. Amnon, Tamar, and all of David's other children, all the wives of King David. Mephibosheth, crippled in both feet. But all of them are sitting down at the table. The apron or the tablecloth covers everybody's feet. Nobody can see his feet because they're covered. He looks like everybody else's feet are covered by the tablecloth, and you can't tell what I look like because the blood of Jesus is covering me. Look at who's at the table.
Thank you, Lord.
That old no good Turner. My. That crooked Smith. My. That lying Adams. My. That low down Welch. My. We're all at the table. And can I tell you why we're at the table? What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm so glad today that the blood covered my sins. I'm so glad today that I've got a seat at the table. And I don't know how you feel, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down at the welcome table. I'm going to give the Lord saying, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up higher. I'll make you rulers over men. Is there anybody here? Thank God for the blood. Is there anybody here? Thank God for the blood. The blood covers all my sins. The blood made me whole again. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. I'm going to sit down at the welcome table. I don't deserve it. But yet, I am blessed. Because the blood of Jesus covers all of my sins. And there's somebody here today. Maybe you think you've been too bad. Maybe you think you've been too callous. Maybe you think you've been too dogmatic. I've got good news for you today. Come on, Will. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, there's a seat for you at the King's table. And nobody will be able to see what you've done. Nobody will know what you've done, because the blood of Jesus covers all of your sins. I wish I had some honest folk in here today can say, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that covers me. If it had not been for the blood, we'd be lost. David said, come on in.
The blood.
Sit down at the King's table.
That Jesus.
You'll always eat with me.
Shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. said it reaches to the high. Yes, mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley.
The blood
that gives me
strength
from day to day. Never gonna lose his power. Said it reaches to the highest mountain. Lord, yes, it does. Said and
it flows.
From day, it will never lose. Gonna lose this. I'm so glad it reaches to the highest,
highest mountain.
Lord. When I'm feeling low, it flows to the lowest,
valley.
The blood
that gives me strength
from day.
Today.
It will never lose his power.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, every eye closed. God, we thank you today for the preached word. God, we thank you for opening
the
scriptures and revealing new truths.
Lord's valley.
Now, God, there may be somebody here today that feels like Mephibosheth. Maybe you've been in hiding. Maybe you've been a place where you wanted to get away from everybody and everything. The word let us know today that you can come out of hiding because you've got a seat at the king's table. Somebody else says, preacher, you were talking about me. I'm crippled, not physically, but mentally and spiritually, I'm crippled. I want to be delivered today. I want this thing taken away from me. I want to operate the way God would have me to operate. That's you today. Today's a mighty good day. Finally, somebody says, preacher, you were talking to me. Like David, the Lord's been calling me. But I thought I'd been too bad. I thought I'd done too much. But you let me know today that every sinner has a future. And preacher, I want to have a future. I want to be able to sit at the table and eat at the king's table.
Oh,
If any of that fits you today, would you get up out of your seat?
To the
we're not concerned about what you've done or where you've been or who you are. God has no respect of person or character. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If you're tired of it today, why don't you come give it to the Lord today?